Hello and welcome to Radio EduTalk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show today Alistair Eadie, who is Lead Officer at Education Scotland. And over the next 20 to 25 minutes, we're going to be talking about the new approaches to inspection and review at Education Scotland. If you've got any questions or comments for Alistair, and this is a pre-recorded show, you can get in touch in either of the two ways. You can email edutalker, that's edutalkr, at hotmail.co.uk, or you can pop something on Twitter with the hashtag edutalk. So, Alistair, welcome to Radio EduTalk. Can you just start by giving us a brief background to your career in education and then go on to explain what your role as lead officer entails?
Yes, indeed, David. Thank you very much for inviting me onto the programme. I've had a very long career in education. My background is primary education. I was a primary teacher. Then I rose through various promoted posts to eventually become a head teacher in three different primary schools before joining what was HMIE at the time, some 7.5 years ago, and I'm currently involved in early learning and childcare inspections and primary inspections with Education Scotland. And my particular brief at the moment is lead officer for early learning and childcare inspections, but I've been part of the team that's been looking at inspection and review and renewing and revising the model and the quality frameworks over the last 18 months.
Thanks very much, Alistair. Now, I'm assuming that our listeners will have a wide range of interest and experience regarding how good is our school series and regarding inspections and the new model. So I'm going to try and pitch it in the middle. Can you start off, Alistair, by telling us why the government and Education Scotland felt that there was a need to make changes to the inspection process?
The move within Education Scotland to look again at inspection and review was part of an ongoing self-evaluation that we, like all in education, feel is very important in terms of continuous improvement. And prior even to the government renewing its focus on education through the National Improvement Framework and the Delivery Plan, Education Scotland felt it was time to look again at inspection and review, because it had been quite a considerable number of years, 7 or 8 years, since we'd had a proper root and branch review of what inspection was for, what it was about, how we did it, and how we went about doing it. So we began by undertaking a consultation roadshow, which ran for a considerable number of months and involved engaging with stakeholders at all levels across the system, across the country. And out of that, we were able to get some understanding of where views were in terms of feedback on what inspection's for, and also how inspection could be improved. And that brought about some interesting and, in some cases, surprising responses from particular stakeholder groups.
And can you tell us then what the main changes or the new approaches are? I would imagine one of the headlines would be the new types of inspection.
Indeed, we were very keen to move away from a view that one size fits all, and that there was only one inspection model, and that was interpreted in different ways, perhaps in different sectors, but it was basically just a single model. And we're moving towards the idea of having a suite of inspection models. And the intention would be, in the fullness of time, that the kind of inspection that was used would be through negotiation with key partners such as Scottish Government, such as local authorities, to be fit for purpose in particular situations. So we have a new full inspection model. But we've also been trying out over the last 12 months various different kinds of models as well. For example, short notice inspections. So rather than the traditional 3 weeks for a secondary, 2 weeks for a primary or an early learning and childcare setting, we're giving, in the school sector where we've tried it out, we're giving notice on the Thursday that we would begin inspecting on the Monday. And we had some very interesting and positive feedback about that model, in fact, David, so much so that we are actually taking forward versions of the short model, perhaps not necessarily just in terms of shorter notice, but also the intention, certainly after the Christmas period is over, to start trying out a little bit more seriously the shorter number of days, a more focused shorter inspection model. We've also tried, in one particular authority, a localised thematic approach where we looked at a particular theme. In this case, it was senior phase experiences. And in that particular tryout, we looked at all the providers, the schools, the colleges, the voluntary sector partners. We looked at their contribution to how senior phase opportunities, experiences were provided for the learners in a particular local authority. And the other one we've tried out is a neighbourhood model, which is, if you like, coming out just one further level than the thematic review. And that was in one particular authority where we looked at early learning and childcare, primary and secondary, and looked particularly at transitions across that very large learning community. So that's the different models that we have tried, and some of those we will be continuing to look at quite closely. Others we feel we're still in the early stages of gaining a real understanding of what they mean in terms of our resources, but also in terms of the impact that we get from them in terms of supporting and contributing to improvement across the system.
And of course, all of this is within the context of the relatively new fourth edition of How Good Is Our School? For the benefit of some listeners who maybe don't have a full understanding, maybe particularly our international listeners, can you take us through what is the fourth edition of How Good Is Our School and what the present focus is in terms of the quality indicators?
Indeed. Well, Scottish education has a very strong foundation in, if you like, a tripartite approach. We believe that improvement comes, first of all, from the teachers and practitioners within individual settings and schools. But we also know that local authorities, having the statutory responsibility for quality in their schools and settings, will also want to support and challenge improvement across their responsibility. And Education Scotland, through our through our inspectorate, are able to provide an external, independent view of that improvement process and the improvement that's being made. Now, we offer to the system a quality framework in order that everyone can have a resource that can support taking an independent and informed view of improvement. And so the How Good Is Our School series grew over the last 25 years to support improvement in primary, secondary and special schools. We also have the How Good Is Our Early Learning and Childcare framework for the early learning and childcare sector. And indeed, we have a range of How Good Is Our frameworks for example, community learning and development, the college sector, and so on. We would not see these as statutory frameworks, but what we would expect is if a school, for example, is not using the How Good Is Our School framework, we would like them to show to us what they are using instead, and we would subject that to rigorous professional scrutiny in terms of its effectiveness and its in the sense of it being fit for purpose. And so, having said that, virtually everyone uses the quality frameworks that we've developed. Indeed, We've had a huge amount of consultation, collaboration, and feedback as we've developed our quality frameworks, notably how good is our early learning and childcare and how good is our school four. So what we have put together is not something that we are imposing on the system. It's something that we have devised and developed with the system and offer it as a support in taking improvement forward.
Now, again, within we've got the context of the Scottish Attainment Challenge and the National Improvement Framework. So which particular quality indicators then are schools being graded on presently?
In the full model that we began using across Scotland from August-September of this year, the particular quality indicators that we use in early learning and childcare and in the school sectors are the indicators related to the management of leadership of change, which is supporting the improvement agenda through the National Improvement Framework as well. We're also looking at learning, teaching and assessment. We're looking at wellbeing, equality and diversity. And we're also looking at the quality indicator, which relates to progress in early learning and childcare, and in the primary and secondary sectors relates to achievement and attainment. So there are four set QIs that we look at particularly in all our early learning and childcare and school inspections.
And as I understand it, Alistair, with the full inspection model, there would be negotiation between the lead inspector and the head teacher to look at one further quality indicator that would not be graded. Am I right in that?
Yes, indeed. The intention with the choice QI, David, is to offer the schools the opportunity to very much set the agenda with the inspection team. We want to make the inspection experience as collaborative as possible. We want to make it a shared experience, and we believe that the choice QI is a way of offering the schools the opportunity to focus in on an area that perhaps would not necessarily come within the scope of the four set QIs. And what we're finding is, in most cases, schools are taking the opportunity to have an independent, informed, external view from the inspectorate of a particular area that they have either identified as an area for improvement and have just begun work, or are just about to begin work. And so they get, in a sense, a well-informed baseline on which they can measure the distance travelled over time as they take that improvement forward. In some cases, however, we found that schools take the opposite view, and it's an entirely valid and reasonable alternative view, and that is to look at something that they have, they feel, completed a substantial amount of improvement work to cover, and they'd like an external view to try and get a sense of how successful that improvement work has been, and in many cases, to celebrate the collaborative effort in taking forward an identified improvement priority and take it to a successful conclusion. So the choice QI offers the opportunity to either see where you're starting from, or perhaps get some kind of informed external view of how far you've actually travelled. And we see that as a very healthy development in further developing that sense. Inspection is something we do together. Inspection is something we do with you rather than something we do to you.
And I notice in the recent literature that it's also stated that there's going to be a focus in every inspection on safeguarding. Now, in my background in special education, working with young people who have been through the children's hearing system, we often hear about young people having a safeguarder appointed. So just to avoid any confusion, maybe for myself as well as others, Alistair, can you just explain what we mean by safeguarding?
Yes, indeed. Well, for a number of years now, our inspection model has always included a look at the arrangements within a school or a setting for safeguarding and child protection. Now, in the past, that has been through seeking the school child protection coordinator or a member of the school's leadership team. We would expect them to complete a pro forma that would outline the arrangements they have for a range of safeguarding and child protection procedures and responsibilities. And that would be something that a member of the inspection team would take some time to look over, to discuss with the school or setting, and where appropriate, sign off or perhaps note areas that could require further improvement or development, and discuss those with the school and the local authority to ensure that they are taken forward. What we've become aware of during the period of our inspection and review overhaul has been a sense that safeguarding and child protection, like many aspects of education, has moved on. And there's a great deal more within safeguarding and child protection than there was 10 years ago. I think, for example, of the government's prevent agenda related to radicalisation and so on. We've decided that within our overhaul of inspection procedures and our quality frameworks, we would take the opportunity to look again at safeguarding and child protection. So much so, in fact, that there is indeed a specific quality indicator now which relates to safeguarding, and it may be, and we have had this in inspections already undertaken, that the choice QI that a school or setting elects to have a look at is the safeguarding quality indicator. But even if they don't, we would always have a focus on arrangements, protocols and systems related to the safeguarding and child protection procedures that relate to all children in a setting or school.
Thanks, Alistair. And, just before we move on to looking at changes in reporting, I've been to a couple of events. I'm speaking to HMI over the last couple of months. So it was just a couple of questions to clarify some things. One of the associate inspectors that I spoke to was talking about the importance of a head of education or head teacher's summary paper prior to inspection team coming in. Can you just explain what that might look like?
Well, for quite a number of years, as the inspection process has moved very much more towards a collaborative venture, again, repeating what I said, something that we do with schools and staff rather than to them, we start the inspection from where the school or setting describes themselves to be, referenced to the quality indicators that we are focusing upon. So the start of the inspection is focused around a conversation between the inspection team and a school or setting related to a summary paper that they would send to us once they've been notified of inspection and before we arrive for the inspection itself. It's focused around the quality indicators. It asks that schools tell us about, in relation to these specific quality indicators, what's going well, how do they know, and what's still to be done. And given that the National Improvement Framework will be looking for all schools to report annually in this fashion beyond August 2017, we have very much aligned our most recent version of the self-evaluation summary paper to give those involved in inspection the chance to undertake that exercise and practice it before they have a statutory requirement to do so under the National Improvement Framework, as I say, from August of next year.
Moving on to actual reporting then, so I understand there's been a number of changes in terms of the nature of reporting, the amount of information or additional information that's made available online for parents and others to look at. Can you just take us through each of the changes?
It's worth saying before just mentioning the changes that all the changes that have taken place have come through extensive consultation and discussion and sampling opinion from a range of stakeholders, parents, children and young people, as well as those involved in education from the delivery point of view. And so what we've done is we've tried to take account of what people have said to us and asked of us in terms of reporting. And in terms of parents, one of the things that they were very clear about is that they wanted something that was very clear, very straightforward, that pinpointed their child's school or setting in terms of strengths and aspects for improvement. So our letters are now quite stripped back compared to what they were before, and certainly compared to what they were like, say, 10 or 15 years ago, often covering two sides of a single sheet, as well as strengths and aspects for improvement. It also contains the evaluations for the four set quality indicators. And in a primary school where there's a nursery class, we would provide those evaluations separately using how good is our early learning and childcare for the nursery class, and for the primary stages using how good is our school four. But that letter is, if you like, a plain English high-level summary of our evidence that we've gathered over the course of our inspection. And that evidence obviously comes in a variety of formats. It comes through observation of learning and teaching. It comes through formal and informal discussions with a range of stakeholders, children, young people, staff, parents, partners from the community, school leadership team. But it also comes from reading any documentation that we're provided with, and including looking at any online resources, websites, blogs, and so on. All of that is distilled into an evidence document, which perhaps might be 8 to 10 pages long. And that document is known as the Summarised Inspection Findings. And what we have committed to do, because we're aware that for some stakeholders, a very lean, stripped back letter isn't quite enough in terms of the detail behind some of these high level statements about strengths and aspects for improvement, we will publish the summarised inspection findings document along with the letter following an inspection in an early learning and childcare setting, a primary, a secondary, or a special school. For this one block of inspection between summer and Christmas of this year, we've slightly delayed the publication of the summarised inspection findings document because this is a new development for us to share our evidence base in the public domain. And we want to make sure through internal moderation that these are written to the highest possible standard and that they are moderated to ensure that they're consistent in what we're saying, so that what we evaluate and the evidence we use to reach those evaluations in a school in the Borders reads the same as what we're saying about a school in the Western Isles, a school in the centre of Edinburgh, or a school in Shetland. So that's the two main reporting documents that now support our new inspection model.
And I'm right in saying then that I think it's backed up with what you've just spoken about, Alistair, but the summary of inspection findings, rather than the old RIF, it's going to be solely evaluative then, so all the descriptive language is going to be taken out, or at least that's the plan.
Well, I think we need to remember that inspection is a human activity, that schools are full of individuals and families and professionals. So the document itself will be very carefully edited to make sure that it's compliant with freedom of information, but also that we don't identify individuals for whatever reason. We are very careful with our reporting that we follow very careful and very sensitive guidance to make sure that we're reporting on the quality of learning and teaching, the quality of children's and young people's experiences, the progress and success that schools and settings are having, and not identify individuals either to embarrass them or to shame them or in any way to draw a spotlight towards them. That's not the purpose of inspection.
And just before I ask you to leave us with maybe a couple of links or further reading, Alistair, can you tell us how the review is ongoing, or to what extent it's ongoing? Obviously, there's areas that are still a kind of work in progress and there's still consultation going on. So where are we at in terms of the review, and what working groups, etc., remain in place to take forward the inspection models?
Well, I guess the key group, David, within the work that we've been doing in further developing our inspection models is an external reference group that Education Scotland has brought together, which covers pretty much every stakeholder group, every significant partner across Scottish education and indeed across Scottish society. The intention of the external reference group is for the work that we're doing in inspection and review to be discussed, to be challenged, to be fully explained, but also at times to sit down and actually start with a relatively blank sheet of paper and say, what should it look like and where should we go next? And the external reference group has been in operation now for some 18 months, and we would expect that they would continue to play a significant role in shaping how we take inspection and review forward. We also expect to regularly sample opinion through post-inspection questionnaires for school leadership teams, for parents, in terms of individual inspections. And we also keep in touch with unions and professional associations to get their feedback from their individual members and their collective groups of members in terms of their experience of inspection. And as we take forward the other models that we would like to see contained within an inspection and review suite of models, we would intend to have a similar approach to trying out, seeking feedback, adjusting, amending, and perhaps in some cases dropping aspects of what we've tried out, in order that what we take forward in terms of the short models, in terms of localised thematic models and neighbourhood models, are models that everybody can understand, have a purpose, can see the difference, and can understand why and when a particular model would be the most effective model to use. But we expect the full model, the one that we're currently taking forward, that will be the one that will be used in the majority of cases.
Okay, Alistair, so whether it's a listener's an international academic or a student teacher or an very experienced head teacher, where should we go for the latest information on the new approaches to inspection and review?
Well, the Education Scotland website would be the first port of call. There is a complete section on the Education Scotland website about inspection and review. It also carries a specific section within the inspection and review area about changes to approaches in inspection and ongoing work on future approaches to inspection and review. It will also, by now, be carrying new versions of letters, and in very in near future, we'll also be carrying copies of SIFs, summarised inspection finding documents, those evidence bases I was talking about, for people to have a look at, because, as I said, they're also going to be in the public domain. In terms of how good is our school and how good is our early learning and childcare, the National Improvement Hub would be the place to go, and there you can find those quality frameworks. And you can also find related information, documentation, and in due course, some case studies and some research materials attached that would support further reading related to the quality framework.
Alistair, so thank you so much for taking time out on this Sunday morning to take us through the new approaches. You've spoken very clearly on a professional level, a personal level, found it very helpful. I hope others have too. And as I say, if you have any questions or comments for Alistair, if you're okay with it, Alistair, then I'll gather them in and pass them on to you in due course. But thank you very much again for joining us this morning.